Now, you may have read or heard in the news a month or so ago that the North West Shelf Gas Project, already Australia's largest and one of the longest running fossil fuel operations in the country, had been approved for an expansion. There was a lot of controversy around that at the time, though, but this expansion and the pollution it's likely to release, it's led to a recommendation by the International Council on Monuments and Sites to defer UNESCO's decision on the World Heritage listing of the nearby Murujaga rock art. So two of the recommendations prior to remediation of the site are to ensure the total removal of degrading acidic emissions and prevent any further industrial development adjacent to and within the Murujaga cultural landscape. Now, this is very important that this is done. These carvings, some dating back tens of thousands of years, document stories of land, sea, sky, and hold deep spiritual and cultural significance for traditional owners. But with increased industrial activity comes risks. As you say, the environmental advocates and some First Nations voices are warning that this activity may cause irreversible damage to this unique cultural landscape. So how will that take place? What does it mean? To help us unpack, I'm pleased to say that Professor of Archaeology in the School of Social Sciences at the University of Western Australia, Benjamin Smith, joins us now on the line. Benjamin, thank you for your time this morning.
No, it's a pleasure to be with you.
No worries. Let's go back. Provide an overview of the significance of the Murujuga rock art and the cultural significance of it.
Yeah, so people may not have heard of Murujuga, but it's probably the world's largest rock art site. So it has more than, well, we usually say more than a million, but the current estimates are that there could be as many as 2 million rock engravings, or what we call petroglyphs here in Australia. These are images of humans and animals that are carved into the rock. And what makes it special is not just the concentration, this incredible number of petroglyphs, but also the fact that they go back 50,000 years. So some of the world's oldest art is found at this place, including the world's oldest depiction of the human face.
Really?
There's extinct animals in there, like the Tasmanian tiger, the thylacine, an old extinct long-tailed kangaroo. It's a truly remarkable place.
Wow. So there are grave concerns about what the North West Shelf Gas Project is going to do in terms of affecting the rock art site. Can you walk us through some of those?
Yes, of course. So currently there are the North West Shelf has been extended for an extra 40 years to take it out to 2070. And the government has been doing for the last 5 years, working with scientists so that they've commissioned a $27 million project to look at the effects of the existing emissions of that plant and the other adjacent industry on the rock art. And that five-year project has just, they've just released the second year report. And in that report, it's it was an interesting one in that the report itself is 800 pages and contains a lot of evidence that the industrial emissions are damaging the rock art. But alongside it went a 15-page executive summary, or sort of a popular summary, that played down the damage that has been done. And that raised a lot of concerns that there was an attempt to perhaps even cover up some of the serious issues. Now, this is a very live issue at the moment because literally today in Paris, UNESCO is considering whether to list Murujuga as Australia's next World Heritage Site. So that would place it alongside, you know, the Sydney Opera House as one of the most important cultural places in the country.
Yeah.
And there's been all sorts of argy-bargy in Paris this week. So as you said rightly, the original ICOMOS recommendation was that Australia hadn't got its act together properly, that it needed to cut down on pollution, it needed to cut down on approving industrial plants in this area before they would consider this being accepted. I mean, no other big World Heritage Site. Imagine Stonehenge and they're building a gas plant right next to it. It would cause an international outcry.
Yeah.
We seem to think that's okay. And so UNESCO is now considering it, but they're being lobbied very heavily. The Australian government has sent across a massive delegation who have been spinning spectacularly all week. And I suspect this is going to be rammed through. I think that it probably will get approval, but perhaps with conditions. We'll see. You need to watch. So this will be live in the news in the next, well, certainly the next week or so, we will hear what the decision in Paris is.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever happens, it's still going to remain a very controversial place because you have what is undoubtedly one of the most important cultural sites in the world, right next door to industry. And all of the science at the moment, regardless of the political spin around it, is convincingly showing that industrial pollution has damaged the rock art and is continuing to damage it.
Yeah. So let's go through that. The weathering chamber results. This subjected all rock types of Mirradjuga to the air pollutants released by industry. Low doses of sulfur dioxide and nitrogen dioxide can have an effect. How bad is that effect on the site?
Yeah, so in their study, they put blocks of rock basically in a gas chamber and watched what happened to those blocks under a microscope. You know, when the pollution when subjected to the pollution that's in that environment, and they found that all of the rocks degraded, and in particular, they became more porous. Now, separately in their field studies. So this was their lab studies, you know, showed that there is a potential for problem. And then in their field studies, they found that all of the rocks immediately around industry have become more porous and are showing very serious signs of porosity, whereas the rocks that are further away from industry were showing no signs of that same porosity.
Okay.
So my own lab team has found is that porosity, it's a relatively simple chemistry, so that the rock contains a lot of iron and manganese, and that's what makes the surface very hard, and that the industrial pollution is basically eating away the manganese first, and then the clays. And so the rocks that have porosity, basically what's happened is that all the manganese has been eaten away and left these kind of holes in the surface. And very quickly after that, then that surface starts to break down with the clays going, and then, you know, within a generation, we could lose the entire surface and therefore all of the rock art. So this initial finding, you know, it doesn't sound, and the government's trying to play it down, you know, the idea that they're just a little bit porous. It doesn't sound very serious, but actually it's a very serious finding.
Yeah. Are there any ways to eliminate the NO2 emissions?
Absolutely, it's quite easy. You could electrify that. So currently, the way that they make energy so the plant is liquefying natural gas. So it's taking, normal natural gas coming out of the ground. It's liquefying it so that it can be exported to Asia mainly. And you could liquefy gas simply by an electric process. But what they're doing is they're burning gas and a significant amount of gas. To create the fuel that they need to really cool that gas down and liquefy it. If you ran that plant just off the grid on electricity, particularly using renewable energy, it could run without any emissions whatsoever. And that's what we hope will happen, that they will simply convert that plant to being an electric plant, and then it can operate happily alongside the rock art without doing any damage to it.
Benjamin Smith, thank you so much for making the time this morning.
My pleasure.
That is Benjamin Smith, Professor of Archaeology in the School of Social Sciences at the University of Western Australia.